You say we don't know. We say we don't know. We say Trek the Soul.
Here we are. It's the Davis Flyer from Trek This Out, and we've just watched the latest episode of Prodigy. Let's say a quick hello to the people who are here. Hello, people who are here.
Hello.
Hang on, there's only two voices there. Who's missing? Eldest daughter, Izzy.
Yes.
Okay, where is she?
She's doing lots of hard work for school.
Isn't she good? Isn't she great? So what she would love to be doing is watching Prodigy and recording with us. And what she's actually doing is revision. So good on her. But that does leave you, Evie. Do you want to say hello? That's it, is it?
Oh, I'm youngest daughter, Evie.
Congratulations. Well done, Eve. So we're going to hear lots from you today.
Yeah.
You've got lots of talking to do, huh?
Yeah.
Okay, you've got lots of thoughts about this episode?
Yeah.
Good. Well, let's hear those in a minute. But we've also, of course, got me, Dad, Steve, and Sarah. Hi. Say hi, Sarah.
Hi, Sarah.
Yeah, you did.
Yeah.
Neve's here. Do you want to say anything, Neville, the dog? No.
He's like right next to us, so he probably will bark growl at one point.
Hey, Neve, speak. Speak. Hello, my name's Neville. No, it's not him. That was me. Okay, so we just watched episode 13, All the World's a Stage, written by your friend and mine, Aaron J. Voltka, who quite often engages with fans quite a lot on Twitter. So really nice to have an episode written by him. And yeah, great. Did you enjoy it, Evie?
Yes.
Do you want to give a very brief synopsis of the story, nice and loud, into the microphone so everyone can hear you?
At the end of the last episode, the protostar got a distress call from a planet. And so in this episode, they went to said planet, but there were people there who had like this big vision of Starfleet and stuff. And at one point you mentioned how it was a bit like Galaxy Quest. And they basically have this false vision of how Starfleet is. They call it Starflight. And there's this big disease called the Gallows. And so Gwyn, Rock, Tok, and Jankum go to like find out what it is, this disease, because there's someone who's been infected with it.
You mean Zero? Rock Tok's on the ship, right?
Oh, yeah. Sorry.
That's all right.
Then Rock Tok joins them.
She does join them, yeah. Yeah.
And it's this shuttle with leaking plasma. And it's falling into this pit of dilithium or something. It's and there's a chemical reaction causing causing an explosion.
Yeah,
which is like infecting everyone.
Okay, that's a pretty good summary, I've got to say. Do you want to spoil the ending, or are we going to assume that people haven't seen it and they might be listening to us before they've seen it? Should we do a spoiler?
Everyone's fine.
Everyone's fine. Okay, spoiler alert. If you haven't seen it, don't listen.
No, everybody in it is fine.
Oh, that's the spoiler.
Okay, yeah.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
That's the spoiler. Everybody's fine.
Yeah, okay, cool. Fair
enough.
Something
happens, then it gets fixed.
What happens? What happens to fix it?
They find the antidote.
Yeah.
Because Jankum goes in the ship and does some engineering stuff.
And how do they get the people who are stuck in the shuttle at the end out?
Because the... Oh, yeah. The three people who were like, well, no, one of them, three of the inhabitants goes onto the ship with Dal and Janeway, and they manually drive it into the mountain crevice thing and beam them out.
Yeah. Did you like what they did to the ship, where they turned it into a constitution class, the Enterprise?
Yeah, that was cool, yeah.
The bridge.
I don't understand how it worked, though. I know it's not a future stuff, but like, how did they turn this solid thing into something else solid?
That's a good question. I didn't know that either, actually. So, like, yeah, what do you think, Sarah?
Well, it was very Discovery, wasn't it?
Mm.
Because a lot of the controls end up being holographic in Discovery when they leap 900 years to the future.
But were you under the impression that those controls on the bridge were holographic to begin with?
No. But so I think that's helpful.
I'm just trying to think, like, there was that bit where they found the bridge in the first couple of episodes, wasn't there? Maybe they are, which is quite cool. Trying to think back, do you remember, Evie, the first couple of episodes? You remember when they found the protostar for the first time and the bridge was kind of a bit empty, and then did all the consoles appear at that point?
Yes,
that's very assertive. I like it. Good. Do you know that for sure, or are you just saying it confidently in the hope that everyone will believe you?
Yes.
Okay, good. They rechanged around the bridge to make it look like a Constitution class Enterprise. Very good. So what were your favorite bits, Evie? What did you really like about this episode? Were there any moments or any ideas that was in it that you really liked?
I liked Murph's little storyline, which didn't mention.
Yeah, go. Talk to us about Murph's storyline.
Basically, Murph is ill at the beginning of it. Mm. Like, it looks quite like they're going to die, to be honest, panting, you know. And then at the end of the episode, they're like in a cocoon, basically. Mm. So we assume melanoid slime worm is something like a caterpillar, and it goes into a metamorphic state.
Ooh. Look at you, you've been doing science.
And turns into a butterfly.
So you think it'd be a butterfly?
Well, not a butterfly, but like the same premise as that.
It would be awesome if Murph becomes like the character from Monsters versus Aliens.
I hadn't thought of that for ages.
Maybe Murph will turn into like an actual processing.
Yeah.
Organ. I mean, they're already in, but like, you know, human like.
We've mentioned it before, but I quite like the idea that they might be a species 8472.
Yeah, yeah.
A Voyager, you know, the one that can whoop the Borg.
Yeah. How does something so fat turn into something so skinny, though? It's basically went from maggot to stick insect.
Yeah,
I don't know how.
Evie, you've seen all the pictures of you as a baby around the house here, right?
Are you calling me a melanoid slime worm?
Like that's not what I said. You might infer it, but it's not what I said. Sarah, any moments or ideas stand out for you from that episode?
Sure, I really, really enjoyed this episode.
Yeah.
I thought there was a lot for everyone to enjoy. I like the idea about feeling that Dahl expressed about actually suddenly feeling really uncertain about what they were doing. Because the others were not quite laughing at the Enterprisians for believing that they were part of Starfleet or that Starflight would come and rescue them. Sorry, now Nev's got something to say.
Yeah, go on, speak up, Nev.
I thought that actually showed quite a lot of maturity to realise the sort of parallels with their own situation.
Yeah.
But equally, actually, the realisation at the end that, yes, they were right the first time. They do have a huge amount to offer. So I like that. I thought it was really good. And I loved all the nods back to original series and how that was done and handled.
Yeah, let's come back to those in a minute. I'm keen to hear what Evie thinks about what Dahl went through there, because the whole series so far, we've talked a lot about how these are quite appropriate kind of discoveries for children to be making about, you know, what's being brave and all that sort of stuff, what's working as a team. This one's quite an advanced one, isn't it? Mm. The idea that recognizing your own flaws in other people. What did you think of that, Evie? Is that something that kind of bothers you as a young person?
What?
Okay, so no is probably
got a disease. Thought he was going to die, and then
yeah. But did you listen to what Mum said? She was saying that no, you didn't. Right. Okay. So Mum was. Do you want to try again, Sarah?
So I was saying that when they arrived on the planet, there was a little bit of, oh, aren't they sweet for believing that they're sort of Starfleet?
Yeah.
You know, they know they're not, but they sort of believe that they might potentially be. And Dahl realises that actually the crew of the Protostar are running around pretending they're Starfleet, but aren't really.
Yeah.
And gets quite upset about that. So starts feeling like a fraud. But actually realises by the end that actually they do have a lot to offer. They're not pretending. They are genuinely trying to be part of Starfleet in the only way they can at the moment.
So what do you think of that, Edie? Is that something that people your age, young people, go through? Is that something you've ever thought about?
Being something you're not.
Yeah, okay, let's break it right down to that. Running around being something you're not. Yeah.
Personally, that's not something about.
I believe
seen,
you.
Should have seen me in my badminton lesson the other day. I was singing A Christmas Friend, pretending the badminton was a microphone.
Okay, all right. So you've never felt that sort of sting of hypocrisy about like thinking somebody else is foolish and then going, oh, well, actually, no, I do that.
Yeah, as a joke, though.
Okay.
Like sometimes when I'm talking to Izzy about lessons or something.
Yeah.
And you're around as well.
Yeah. Okay. So maybe that's a...
Thinking Izzy was like... when I was in year 7 or 8, thinking Izzy was bad at maths for being in like a lower set, like set 4, and that's the set I'm in now.
Okay. All right. There we go. So it is a kind of a universal truth then, like some of those other prodigy issues of like being in a team and recognizing other people's views and all that stuff. So this is okay. So, but you didn't kind of get that straight away from this episode, right?
No.
So is it fair to say that's a more complex theme that we've come across in this episode?
Yeah, I think definitely for the kids who are watching it, they've probably got no clue what the whole episode was about.
Mm-hmm.
Like, they're mocking. We know that they're not mocking, but they're trying to be Starfleet. But like, they've changed some things, so it's not. But the kids don't know that that's not Starfleet.
Okay, so let me ask you a difficult question then. What about when you go to a convention and put a Janeway costume on? Is that you pretending to be a Voyager person? Is that you kind of doing the same things that the Enterprisians did?
Janeway costume?
Yeah.
I wasn't like her, though.
Okay. You don't think you're like Janeway? I'm just trying to... kind of open your mind a little bit. Okay, all right, fair enough. That's interesting. But that's what I love about Star Trek. It gets you to think about these things, right?
Yeah.
It's not always an easy thought, is it?
No.
As you're finding now. Sarah, am I pushing your youngest daughter too far?
No.
6 o'clock in the evening.
Oh, Evie. Bless you. I don't know, one of two things is going to happen. You're either just going to breeze through life completely oblivious to what's happening around you, or it's going to come as a really big shock to you.
I don't really have any views about anything as a 13-year-old at the moment, to be honest.
Okay.
My personal view is I'm 13. I'm still owned by my parents, basically.
Well, amen to that.
And I don't really need to make any big decisions at the moment. So the only thing I need to be worrying about is my GCSEs.
Okay. So you're enjoying Prodigy from like a rompy storytelling point of view. Things are happening. Stuff's going on. But you're not really thinking about it in too much depth in terms of what it tells you about being a person.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. That's interesting. Well, I mean... I do watch Star Trek in terms of what it's like to be a person, as well as all the shooty, spacey stuff as well. So maybe there's room for you to think about it that way. Because this episode, of course, linked right back to the very earliest Star Trek. Did you recognise any early Star Trek links in this episode?
Truly.
Yes, good.
James T.
Did you notice how he delivered his speaking as he welcomed the Prodigy crew? Do you notice that?
Yes.
What is that?
Like, it's a very exaggerated way of how James T. speaks.
Yeah. Did you like that? Did that amuse you?
Yes.
Good to hear.
I saw Mum chuckling. I really enjoyed it.
So I don't think, I'm not like a perfect knowledge of classic Star Trek, but I don't think we ever saw those aliens in an episode of the original series.
And I think that's probably very sensible of the writer, because nobody can get very cross about whether or not they went there.
Yeah. So
the and if you are getting cross about whether or not they went there, then really you might just want to get a hold of yourself.
So, I mean, I might be wrong. There may have been an episode that I don't remember, but I don't remember it. I do remember there's an episode with the Galileo, the shuttlecraft Galileo.
He's such an
art. Yeah, it's called the Galileo 7. It's quite a good one. And that guy Ensign Garavik is in an episode as well. You've seen it. Do you remember the one where what's it called, the one where Kirk, it's a big gas cloud that sucks everyone's blood out of their bodies, and Kirk blames himself for not firing quickly enough when he first encountered it years ago as a lieutenant on the Farragut, I think, and then he blames one of the ensigns when it reappears for not having shot it quickly enough. Do you remember that episode?
Oh, you remember that, yes.
Right. So Garavik is the ensign that he blames for not having shot it quickly enough.
Okay.
And I think that's the only time Garavik appears. But so I think what the bit about Garavik going down in the shuttle is kind of new canon. Yeah. I don't think that's ever been in the original series before.
But I'm very comfortable with
it. Yeah, no, I thought it was great. Yeah, yeah.
But I did like I kind of like the nods back to the original series. I thought was really nice. But I also like the fact that actually things do change over time. You sort of think about some of the stuff we pull out of pits and go, oh, yes, this must mean, tiny bit of pop must mean that the Romans, I don't know,
yeah,
square dancing on a Tuesday. Yeah. When actually, you know, they'll probably be sat there going, you know, where's the lid to my hair jelly? I don't know.
Yeah.
In Latin, we were learning about the baths and stuff.
Yeah.
And they in the hypocaust was the heating system. The air would travel through lead pipes
to heat
up the water, so it was basically slowly intoxicating all the people.
Oh right, basically. Okay, yeah.
They wouldn't have recognized it, but
so what's the link between that and this episode?
I don't know, that was just a clever thing that came to my mind. I don't know, the way, like, often of the things that are used in the so the strigil, which is used in the tepidarium.
Good. But what's the link to the episode?
Because, well,
this is all good stuff.
Well, they might have used it as sword fighting in the baths, whereas we interpret it as them scraping off dirt, oil and sweat after
So it's how do we know what happened in the past? How are we interpreting events of the past? Yeah. And how will what we do be interpreted in the future?
Well, you could have the argument that Pliny the Younger would have wrote it in his accounts and stuff.
Yeah.
But also, one of the things found in, like, some of the excavations was Caecilius's wax tablets as well. So.
But I think it's a really nice demonstration of what happens with the sort of how oral storytelling things get slightly changed. So people have got different versions of Cinderella, for example, depending on what country you're from. It's a slightly different story.
Aschenputtel.
And you know, for traditional storytellers, there are different stories depending on what area of the country you're from. And there's been a huge project on language that's been done, which goes to show how language has changed over time. So even in the last 100 years, how we speak has changed significantly.
Oh, yeah. So let's get another Archer's reference in. Angus Imrie, hi. One of the ways they track language and spoken language is that they listen to really old episodes of The Archers. So there are some characters, some actors who've been on The Archers since the beginning, since like 1950 or something. And they can literally track vowel movements, vowel shifts, based on how that actor has changed her voice patterns over the years.
Wow.
Fascinating, isn't it?
That is.
Yeah.
So anyway, I mean, but I just really liked that bit of the story.
Yeah, I did. So that idea of you never know how what you do will be interpreted by others. That's another big idea, isn't it?
Yeah. I'm not entirely sure that's what was intended, but it's what I took from it.
Yeah, but they're Star Trek for you, isn't it? You know, so open to interpretation. Very good. Okay, Evie, anything else stand out in this episode for you? Whenever you like. Do you know on radio, while you're thinking, do you know in radio stations, they call the bit where there's silence, they call it dead air. They try and avoid it as much as they possibly can.
Everyone talks over each other.
Yeah, because they're terrified of dead air.
So awkward.
What, on radios?
Yeah.
Right.
And like when it's the subtle silence when they're calling someone, the dead air, I guess, when they're like, hello, and no one replies. Anyway, and that's... then they say hello at the same time again. It's so awkward. I don't like listening to the radio when they call people.
What, call them up on the phone, you mean?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. Right. Yeah, okay. Well, that's giving you time to think of something else interesting about this episode then. What do you reckon?
I liked all the graphics as always.
Yeah. Oh, well, actually, I 100% agree. Well, I 98% agree with you, because for the first time in all of these 13 episodes that we've been watching it, I thought today I saw the first little shonky bit of something. And that was when
he lifted the girl up onto his shoulder.
Oh, that wasn't what I was thinking. You spotted that as well, did you?
I thought that was a bit, it was too smooth. Right. Also stopped, like, choppy at the same time. I don't know.
There was a bit where they were all running to, I think, to watch the stage show, the All the World's a Stage, to watch the play, and there was like an aerial shot of the main room, and everyone was running across to the stage. And I thought a couple of the, like, the motion characters, they sort of seemed to skate across the ground as they were moving.
I actually thought their animation was quite poor. It was like they'd run out of time.
Yeah. Like in, do you remember in the first season of Picard when all the copy and paste fleet arrived? Yeah, okay. So for the first time I thought that, but no, on the whole, Evie, I thought the dilithium mine was brilliant. Yeah. The
animation there. Maybe that's what they put all that effort into.
Yeah.
And I know I say it every week, I love the score for these episodes.
Yeah.
Really, really love the score.
Yeah.
I think the theme tune and the way that music is used throughout is just lovely. Mm. And I would really appreciate it.
Have the transporter effects, the beaming, have they always looked like the effect in the 2009 Star Trek film, the Chris Pine one, the first one?
Yeah.
That's like it all spins around and then sort of rips them apart. It's really a good effect. Has it always been like that in Prodigy, or have they changed it?
Say that there was an issue with the transporters. So maybe that was a throwback as well.
Yeah.
We're on this weird old planet.
Yeah.
We'll do a throwback thing.
Yeah. So we'll have to watch out for that in the future then. We're going to have to watch out for what the transporters on Prodigy are like normally. So we're going to do that. All right. So, Eves, what else? Are there any other? So, animation. What about characters? Which of the characters did you most enjoy spending time with today?
Murph.
Why Murph? Why Murph,
because I love how, like, if I could decorate my room with any colours, I would choose Murph. The way Murph is.
Yeah.
It's just so cool. Like, very pastel and colourful.
Yeah, we didn't see much of who else didn't we see much of today? Wasn't a lot of
zero. There wasn't much of zero.
Yeah,
to be honest.
Yeah, not much. Oh, there was a big zero episode last week, wasn't it?
Not much Janeway. She wasn't always there.
Yeah. So who was the standout character? Whose episode was this then? Who was the who do you think got Jan- the most?
He fixed the problem, kind of.
Yeah. Yeah, it was a Jankum episode, this, wasn't it? Do you agree, Sarah? Did any of the characters stand out for you?
I don't think so. Although, again, I appreciated Gwen.
Yeah.
Just kind of going, no, come on, we're going to do this. This is what we're here for.
Yeah.
Put yourselves together, people.
Yeah.
But I think she's a bit more sensitive.
We haven't talked about the Janeway bits with the Diviner again today.
Oh, yeah.
Did you like that? Or so you rolled your eyes, Evie. You looked disgusted there.
It just frustrates me so much when we know what's going on and other people don't. It frustrates me.
Yeah.
So I just shout at the screen. I feel like there's another thing that's happened with.
What do you want to shout at the screen?
He's the bad guy.
Boo, hiss. Yeah. You want to panto it up, do you?
When you find the protostar and the crew, don't blow them up instantly. Listen to them.
What do you think of this? restraint they've put on themselves about not being able to contact Starfleet at all now. Do you like the fact that it's then sent this second half of the series off in a certain direction, going out to help people and not being able... So the main thing was trying to get to Starfleet, except now they can't do that, so we've had to change the structure of the story a bit, haven't they? Do you like that?
Yes.
Why do you like that?
Something different.
Right.
Something quirky, something new.
Okay, you're not frustrated by the fact that the story's taking a while to get to the... Just meet Voyager or Dauntless or whatever it is. The Dauntless, isn't it?
No.
You're not frustrated by that?
No.
Good? Okay, I am a bit. I wish they would. I want them to bounce into Royal Janeway.
Janeway just needs to... I think at this point, it's going to be like in one episode that Janeway is going to have got on that ship to leave and she's going to find them instantly.
So you reckon it's the next episode they're on it?
Yeah, because they've just taken so long for her. She's not even left yet to find them.
Mm-hmm.
I guess she needs more information, but like...
But doesn't the series end then? Because they're not going to be able to keep whizzing around on a prototype starship.
Yeah, that's true.
But, you know, when Voyager got home...
Yeah.
Series ended.
I'd love to watch that series, though. What happened after with Voyager? Where are they 20 years in the future?
We read a lot of books that...
Yeah, that's true.
Based on it.
What does Tuvok end up? Is he on the Titan in the books?
Yes.
Yeah. Okay. And where's Chakotay?
He is...
In the books, I mean.
Does he not end up back on Voyager?
Does he? Is he the Captain of Voyager?
He gets quite gloomy for a bit. So there's a bit where he's back on Earth being very gloomy.
Yeah. Cool. All right, that sounds good. Right. So we are running out of time because we want these podcasts to be kind of a bit snappy, 25 minutes or so. Evie, are there any final thoughts you've got about this episode?
I don't think so.
Okay. How many? We never do lights, do we? We're going to do how many lights out of five, aren't we?
Yeah.
Before. But we've never done it before. I wonder why.
We do it.
Let's do it.
How many lights you see?
Oh, four lights!
I asked how many lights you see.
So how many lights out of five? What out of five? Evie, four. So, okay, if you're going to do that, you have to say there are four lights.
There are four lights. It kind of scared me a bit, to be honest.
What?
I don't know why. It's like our cousin's watching like Sophia the First, and it's just like the characters and stuff just kind of scare me slightly.
Okay.
Well, I know Sophia the First isn't supposed to be scary. I just like some of the storylines in that, the people are just a bit odd and scary, you know.
In what, sorry?
And
what?
In both Sophia the First and Prodigy. It just kind of gave me Sophia the First vibes.
Okay. What is Sophia the First?
It's a cartoon about a princess.
Cool. Good. Tell us more. This is the, go on. What is it?
It's a cartoon about a princess who's like, she was a girl in a village doing all right. Then she became a princess overnight, and then she's got to learn how to do it right.
There you go.
She has so much to learn and see.
Yeah.
Off to the palace with a new family. So I'm just singing the theme tune.
That's
now.
The theme tune. Yeah.
Well, but like, good. Some of the characters are just a bit weird and scary, in my opinion. As were the new characters in this. They're just odd. Not someone I would want to be around.
Cool. Good thoughts. So parallels with other programs. Thanks. Sarah, how many lights would you give this?
I'd like to say 4.5, but I know it upsets our parent podcasters.
Mm.
But I'm going to go 4.5. I loved, loved, loved the story.
No, it's me it upsets. They're cool with
it. Is
it
you? Yeah. Okay, they're fine with
4.7.
it. 4.7. I am going to go 4.5. It drops half a point because some of the animation was not to my taste. But yeah, I loved the storyline. I really enjoyed it.
Okay. We should say, I give it 4 lights. There are 4 lights. I give it 4 lights out of 5. Because almost exactly the same reason that you did. Speaking of our beloved colleagues on the Trek This Out Home podcast, Suki has left us some comments. I think we should try and do it in his accent. How about that? Should we try and do a Midlands? Birmingham accent. So, no, I'm not going to. Shall I? Should we do it?
No.
Okay, all right. Evie, he's in two tweets. Evie, do you want to read the first tweet out?
Okay.
Suki says,
huge Galaxy Quest vibes. Love the terrible impressions from the population and the TOS bridge. The crew are helping people as they travel. It's such a pity that Admiral Janeway is getting the wrong end of the story from the sick diviner. That's what I said.
Yeah.
I wonder what's happening with Murph.
Sarah, do you want to read the second half of Suki's tweet?
I have another bit of feedback.
Oh, do you? Actually. Or can I read the second half of Suki's
tweet? Right.
The mispronunciation of TOS crew names was a great idea, and the play to explain the backstory of Enson Garavik was just mad, but a delight. Overall, a very good and fun episode. Can't wait to hear what you thought of it. Loving the log. Cheers, Suki. What have you got, Sarah?
So, the lovely Sean Ferrick.
Sean!
A beautiful tribute to Trekkies and bigging up the red shirts.
Yeah, I didn't get the red shirt reference.
Crimson.
Yeah.
Which was very generous of him, given he's probably done an entire YouTube video about this episode. So thank you, Sean.
Good man, Sean Ferrick. Yeah, excellent. Right. Good. In fact, he's almost as big a celebrity as getting Aaron J. Volk cut on.
Well, that's
he?
Very true, yeah.
Yeah. Guy. Right. So I think that brings our cogitations to a close this afternoon. Unless anyone has any emergency last thoughts?
No, I think I have shared my most important ones.
Yeah. Well, hopefully Isabel will be back with us next week.
Yeah, I missed her.
Yeah, me too. And Nev was a at best competent stand-in. Not slightly quiet. But until next week, I hope you enjoy watching Prodigy and speak to you soon. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Say goodbye, Evie.
Oh, sorry. Bye.
No, say goodbye, Evie.
Say goodbye, Evie. Oh, goodbye, Evie.
Nailed the finish. Excellent. Bye, everyone.